When the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love, torn between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side, and when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I have spent most of my life on earth to take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and fade into of death, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone.
Looking forward to going home.
Celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace.
Oh, listen. Right,
celebrate me home.
Celebrate me home. Listen. Celebrate me home.
Celebrate me home.
That's what we all should want when we are gone out of here. Who knows the day? Who knows the hour? We just know the time will come and we'll take a trip to the other side. We'll take a trip to the other side. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. We're back. I think everything's fine. It looks right to me. Oh, I sure hope it is. I trust Facebook friends. I've missed you so much. Radio audience, I missed you last week. We have a new Phoenix, a new program here. That's the technology of this broadcast. And it's an incredible program. And I'm supposed to be much better today. I don't know, the sound should be better, the picture, and man, I needed some help with that. The video should be better, but welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. We're going to talk today about paradise. Paradise. We remember it was Paul who spoke of paradise, remember? It was Paul who spoke of paradise, and he spoke of it with beautiful, wonderful, wonderful understanding. Oh, what a day. What a day, church. What a day, church. And I trust you are receiving this with great, grace. I trust so. Let me just take a look here and make sure it looks good. Yeah, I see me on Facebook. I hope it continues and everything's going to be fine. And God bless you. God bless you. Let's have a great program. What do you say? Let's have a great program. I want you to get right in the middle of this and let's enjoy it together. Let's enjoy it together. There's nothing like getting in the Bible and talking about the things of God. Now, I want to talk about heaven. I want to talk about New Jerusalem. That's what John called it. You remember the Abraham. Abraham said, I'm looking for the city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Whose builder and maker is God. Of course, Apostle Paul called it paradise because he was caught up and got a real vision of paradise. Well, there's just so much about this that is exciting. And I hope you will be blessed today. Now, my volume is higher, I think. That may be a little bit too high. Somebody let me know if it is. A new Phoenix program. And so it's set a little different, I'm sure. Every program would be a bit different. And I see my lights are blinking, which may mean I'm over-modulating. I'm not really sure. But I'm trying my best to get it balanced. I don't want to burst your eardrums. I really don't. I don't want to burst your eardrums. I want it to be enjoyable, and I want you to be blessed, and I want your life to be affected for God's glory and God's honor. All right, let's get in the Bible. Now, we're going to get right into the Holy Book, okay? We're going to get right into the Holy Book, and we're going to talk about heaven, and we're going to talk about going there. Now, I want to go back a few years. I remember years ago that I used to hear people say, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. He's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Now, I don't remember anybody, maybe one or two that I thought really stretched it and maybe got a little too heavenly minded. But now, I'm afraid the thought is we're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Instead of no so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. I think there's a balance. I think there's a right in between, a beautiful balance where a saint of God lives with heaven in their heart, but lives and conducts their life on earth in a manner that is beautiful and, you know, acceptable. It's so easy to want to talk about God when everybody else wants to talk about farming, want to talk about a picnic, or going on a vacation, or taking a cruise. And those things, there are people among us that just don't care about those things. I have two things I live for. I live for my family. I live for my family. I love them with all of my heart. And I live for God and His church and the people of God. I want to be a blessing to the people of God. I want to help them grow and mature and get richer and sweeter and more devoted to Christ. And so I want to be heavenly minded, but I don't want to be so heavenly minded that I am no earthly good. I want to be a servant of the Lord in this crazy world. Now, I think you ought to hit that share button over there and share this with everybody you know, because one of the great needs of this hour is for heaven to become more real to us. I'm telling you, if heaven is real to you, you will find your joy in this life twice as wonderful. And when you get heaven on your heart and heaven in your gold, and you're set on that glorious day, hallelujah, it really is wonderful. It's a marvelous way to live. It really is a marvelous way to live. And I want you to be so blessed by living the Christian life that you just are a blessing to everybody who meets you, everybody who knows you. I want you to be a light. I want you to shine. We live in a dark hour. A lot of terrible things are happening in the political realm, in the educational realm, in the economic realm, certainly in the physical realm, the realm of health and our well-being. And so if you don't have some heaven in your heart, I'm not sure you can be very happy in these dark days. I got a lot of heaven in my heart. I want you to know that. I got a lot of heaven in my heart. But I also want to be a blessing. I love my grandbabies. Great day. I love my grandbabies and my great-grandbabies. They are a joy to me. Of course I love my children with all of my heart. Everything I am, I love my children. I really do. Let me take a call here, all right? You on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Joe, down here in the Lumberton area, you're not on the air. You haven't been on the air the last 2 weeks, I don't believe.
Well, I was a problem last week, but I'm coming through this week, so I don't know what the problem is. Call the radio station.
Yes, sir, I will.
Call the radio station, and you know I'm on, and tell everybody to listen to the Internet. Are you hearing me on it? How are you hearing me?
Radio.
By radio. Well, then if you hear me by radio, I'm on down there, aren't I?
No, sir.
Well, how do you hear me by radio right now? I'm talking about right now.
I got on the radio station, but it's dead. There ain't nothing on.
Well, call the station. I don't know what's wrong. I really don't. They had it going until last week, and it was my fault last week because the technology had cut down. But we're on, so call the station, okay? I pray that they'll get on. So pray for them. Father, bless WSTS. I want that great audience to hear me and to enjoy this broadcast. We're talking about heaven. What could be more wonderful than to talk about heaven? I know one thing. I love the thoughts of heaven. You on the air? May I help you, please? You on the air? May I help you, please? All right. Nobody there? All right, I thought maybe that was someone else down there that is not hearing me, and I'm sorry for that, but I can't stop it right here. All I can do is do the broadcast, and I'm on the air, I'm on Internet, I'm on streaming, I'm on Facebook, so, you know, that's all I know to do, and if there's a problem, they'll get it solved. I can be assured of that, and so let's get in the Bible. What do you say? Now, remember, I was talking about people so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good. I don't think we got a problem with that today. But we certainly have a problem with people who are so worldly and earthly-minded that they're no heavenly good. And I want to solve that. I want to see people live a balanced life. A balanced life. There's nothing as wonderful as living a balanced life. Now, to start the program, I want to go to 1 Corinthians, a very important chapter 2, and I want to read a little bit of what Apostle Paul was saying. This is where he talks about paradise, in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 2. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Boy, we can believe that one, can't we? Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is, as it is written, eyes have not seen. Listen to this now. Now, for it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Listen to this, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In a little bit, we're going to go to that word paradise in the writings of Apostle Paul, but let's deal with this great statement that God made by the Holy Spirit. He says, but it is written, it is written. This is in the Bible, the Old Testament, and now being repeated in the New Testament. Eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard the things which God hath, which God hath prepared for them that love him. For them that love him. Can you imagine anything more beautiful than that, than God has prepared something so out of this world, so beyond human thought, beyond human imagination, that he could say it not hasn't even entered the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. For them that love him. There is nothing so precious as knowing that God loves us. We love God and we are his and we belong to him. And Christ is mighty and dynamite and wonderful and glorious. Oh, church, what a joy. What a blessedness. What an overwhelming truth that God hath prepared these things for them that love him. Now, I started with you thinking, I want you to become heavenly minded until you know there's a heaven awaiting you. And when you know that heaven is awaiting you and that God's got something out of this world down the road awaiting you, it's a wonderful thing. I'm living, here I am, 84 years old. And I've been serving God over 68 years. I got saved in 1952. And it has been a wonderful walk with God. I'm not kidding you. It has been a wonderful walk with God. And it gets richer as the days go by, church. You got to hear me when I tell you we are blessed people. We are a blessed people. We are a people beyond human grasp, beyond human understanding. It's rich, it's wonderful, it's overwhelming. It's glorious, it's glorious. It is absolutely glorious to serve and walk with God and live for him. He is everything we need. He's our life. He's our riches. He's our glory. He's our joy. I'm telling you, friend, it's marvelous to serve the Lord. It's marvelous to serve the Lord. And I hope everything's going right. I'm sorry if it's not, but I know it's going perfect here. And if some technology is not working, I am not responsible, I don't think, because it's a joy to know that we're doing these things and bringing you the wonderful truth. And it does show up on Facebook, so I presume that's working fine. Now listen, you got to hear me. We have got to get heaven in our heart. We got to learn that God has prepared things so out of this world for us. It is marvelous. It is marvelous. Go with me to 2 Corinthians now. We were in 1 Corinthians, but go to 2 Corinthians, okay? I want you to go with me. I want us to read it together and go to chapter 12. And this is a wonderful text of Scripture, a wonderful text of Scripture. And it is what I was mentioning a while ago about Apostle Paul caught up to paradise. Can you imagine? I don't know whether people preach much about this today or not, but Apostle Paul was caught up to paradise, actually in the place of God's great, great glory, actually in the city of God. He don't describe paradise. He says the things he heard were not even lawful for him to tell you about. You know what? Listen to me now. I wish God would let somebody, probably wouldn't be me. I don't know who God may choose to take them to paradise and let them come back and tell this world what paradise looks like. Wouldn't that be something? Boy, would I? I've actually asked God to let me go and come back. I believe I've been serving him long enough that I would know better than to take any credit. I wouldn't know better than to think for the moment that I get any glory for it. It wouldn't be for my glory. It would be for the kingdom. It would be for the honor of the Lord. But let's go in our Bible and let's look at this. It really is beautiful. It really is beautiful. Come on now. How that he was caught up into paradise. Let me read a verse before that. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul was caught up into paradise. He didn't even use his name. Everybody that's ever read this that I know it was Apostle Paul. There's no one else around his perimeter in the church of that hour that there would appear to have been any such experience for. So we believe it was Apostle Paul. I believe it was while he was down in his home city, kind of preparing himself spiritually and biblically to preach and to do the great ministry that he did. He's in prayer, no doubt, staying before God, spending hours. Listen, friend. You don't know the result of spending hours before God. You don't know the result of it. Just this morning, I thanked God for the battles I've been through. I really did, because those battles have caused me to find God in a deeper manner than I ever knew. They brought me to a place that I am overwhelmed for and overwhelmed about. And to bring you this program about heaven and paradise and I want to tell you something. I'm calling it home. To me, paradise is home. To me, that city called New Jerusalem is home. We'll get to some of those different scriptures because they're all very beautiful and they're very biblical. And the people in the Bible knew that heaven was real. Nobody doubted it among the great writers of the scripture. Nobody doubted among those great persons that we look up to in our Bible and see them as really great exceeding saints. They knew that heaven was real. They were excited about heaven. You know what Paul said? Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Paul said. Now you learn that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a marvelous truth. That's breathtaking. It's breathtaking to have those kind of things written in your heart and in your mind. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. What must he have heard? Wow. Unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, the places where I realize how human I am. He goes on to say, for that I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth that I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth to be of, that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. He was a man that saw so much from God. He had so many revelations. And he said that because of those revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now that's a great man. That's a great man. Paul the Apostle is talking here about heaven. He was caught up to paradise. It's a real place, folks. If nobody has proven to you it's a real place, I sure would like to prove to you it's a real place. I'm telling you, it is indeed a real place. And I am getting anxious to go home. I am. I'm not about to go. I feel like 10 years, 20 years maybe. I don't know how long I'm going to keep working. I know that I'm a healthy man. I know that God has given me a miracle. I know that he's improving my eyes. He's improving my ears. I can just feel and see the progress I'm making. And I don't know how long I got. I'm believing God for a widow lady to help take care of me and cook for me and make life a little more bearable. I'm telling you, it's not easy for a man my age to live alone, wash his dishes, wash his clothes, fold his things, mop the floors. Oh, great day. But I make it. I'm all right. My house is decent. It's not a dirty place, not a nasty thing. No, couldn't stand it. But Paul said, I was given a thorn in the flesh to buffet me that I might not be exalted above measure. Now, that's wonderful. Now, let me tell you. The more of God that you learn and the more of heaven that you begin to experience and the deeper grows your life in the Lord, the more you must humble yourself and the more you must be very careful and have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh cannot be trusted. The flesh cannot be trusted. Are you hearing me? The flesh cannot be trusted. Do not trust your flesh, not for a moment. Are you listening to me? Not for a moment. This is a great scripture. And there is a place called paradise. Do you understand? You say, is it really real? Well, ask Paul. I was caught up there, he said. I saw things, heard things that are unspeakable. And because I got so many revelations, God gave me a thorn in the flesh to buffet me so that I never get cocky and think I know more than I know. I think it's all beautiful. Heaven is a real place, folks. Heaven is a real place. Let me take a moment here. I've got so much to say, and I always give out of time. I always have too much because I get ready. I spend a while getting myself ready. I want to have plenty to say. I want it to be good. Now, are you listening to me out there? Let me tell you that my phones are open. You heard me call the man called a while ago. My phone's open, 704-391-0588, 704 391-0588. I'd love to talk about heaven with you. And if you maybe had a little peep into heaven, maybe God gave you a vision or God gave you a revelation. Now, it won't be hard to tell whether it's real or whether it's not real, because I tell you one thing, if God's in it, it's biblical all the way. It's altogether biblical, and there's no glory for man. And so if anybody would call and they'd begin to take the glory, I'd cut them off just like a flip, because I won't stand for that. I'm telling you, we don't have anything of which the glory. Let me give you a list of 10 things that God has poured into my heart that shows a little bit of the wonder of when we get home. Are you thinking about what will happen when you get home? Do you ever just sit and say, now how is it going to be when I enter into the realm of the divine? Death is such a mystery that most people fear it to death. They fear death with all they are. They'll fight everything they can fight to keep another little day, another little hour. I don't want to die like that. When it comes time for me to go, I want to go. You heard that song. You heard that song. I love that song. Oh, I really do. I'll probably play that for you again at the end of the program, because it is just dynamite song. And I want you to learn to enjoy the thought of going to heaven. I want it to become real to you. You blessed old saints out there, and there's a lot of you. I want you to get where you don't fear death, not in the least. If you're one of those that does not fear death, call me, because you have a testimony. The world needs to hear it. I'm giving my testimony because I am telling you it's a thrill to think about going to heaven. It's absolutely a joy. Absolutely a joy. While I expect to live 10 or 20 more years, I'm so healthy. I've got so much I want to do. I want to be part of a great Holy Ghost revival. I want to see multitudes of people saved. I want to do things for God like I've never done. I'm even asking God to give me the talent of singing. The talent of music. Can you believe that? This old man, 84, can't carry a tune in a bucket. And yet I want to learn to sing. I want to learn to sing. If God gives me the right widow, she'll teach me to sing, and we'll have a duet together. You say, crazy preacher. Yeah, I know. A little bit crazy. But I'm going to die that way. I'm not going to die no a fuddy-duddy. I promise you that. I'm going to be a happy man. Let me give you these things. Now, number one, the celebration of the saints. Do you understand how we will celebrate when we enter into that eternal place and suddenly we're there? I can just imagine my Juanita, what a happy person she was. I don't know. Does she miss me? I like to think she does, but I think that's a little bit selfish on my part. But I'm telling you, when we get home, it's going to be something else. The celebration of the saints. Then glorified bodies from which we can behold all the riches of God. Can you imagine a glorified body? No longer subject to the limitations of the world around us. No longer subject to sicknesses. No longer subject to frailties of different descriptions. No disease to worry about. No pandemics up there. Are you hearing me? There won't be no pandemics up there. You got to hear me now. I'm telling you how precious these things are. They're outstanding. So glorified bodies. A body that has no limitations. It'll be a body like Jesus' body. You say, well, will people know us? Of course they'll know us. Do they know Jesus? I mean, Jesus is the perfect example of a glorified body. Jesus is the perfect example of what it means to be eternal in our flesh. Well, in our spirit, well, there is, it is flesh, but not flesh and blood, but flesh and spirit. What a day. What a day. From the first time in human history, we will behold the face of God. Can you now listen? Think about it. I pray in the mornings 2 or 3 hours, sometimes 4, and I love every minute of it. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for our school. I'm praying for our president. I'm praying for just the whole situation where we live. Believe me, this world needs some prayer warriors, old-fashioned. You know what I put on Facebook a couple of days ago? Do you know what they used to tell us when we were learning to pray? They said, pray like you're fighting a swarm of bees. Pray like you're fighting a swarm of bees. That's overwhelming. That's overwhelming. That's probably something close. And that's how I learned to pray. And I've always prayed like that. I learned to pray in the woods with a bunch of saints, men who loved God. They weren't preachers. They were just good laymen. And it was a delight. It was a joy. And so to see my father, I've been thinking of it lately, and just kind of like Moses, you know, he would up on the top of Mount Carmel. He said, "God, I want to see your face." That's normal for a saint of God. I want to see you, God. I want to look right into your face, Father. I've been telling God that. He probably won't let me because I'm still in this old fleshly body. But the day will come when I will be able to see God just like he is. I will look at the Father, and I will see his majestic order. I will see all of his suspendous glory. I will see him in the matchlessness of his person. I love what he said. I go to quote the verse sometime, and it don't start off right. But God said, "Thus saith the high and lofty one." I like that. That's in Isaiah 47. "Thus saith the high and lofty one, who inhabiteth eternity." Now listen to that. God inhabits eternity. He doesn't live in eternity. He inhabits eternity. He is the source of eternity. That's God, your Father. And you're going to see him. On that day, what a day, we will see the Father. Did you know the Bible says if we've been faithful to Jesus and we've not been ashamed to testify of him, he will be faithful to us, and he will introduce us to the Father. Jesus Christ is set to introduce all the saints to the Father, one-on-one, one at a time. You say, time for that, time for everything needed up there. We will participate in the judging of angels and the devil. Did you know that? Did you know the saints are going to participate in judging the angels? We really are. That's quite exciting to think that we will judge the angels. And then millions of family circles will not be broken. I'm so hungry for my family circle to not be broken. I got grandchildren that's not ready to meet the Lord. That is as far as I know. Now, maybe something has happened that I don't know. But I got grandchildren not ready to meet God. And I'm so burdened. I don't want my circle, my family circle, to be broken. I don't want Mama or Juanita to be standing there and you say we won't even know. I don't know what we don't know. I guess people that are lost, we will never remember them. But I can't stand the thoughts of that. I want to be part of a family that is an unbroken circle. How about you? And then we will participate judging angels. Millions of family circles will not be broken. And then saints will be busy blessing one another for the crowns which God has given us. Everybody will have a different crown or a different set of crowns or different rewards that God's given us. Our mansion in the New Jerusalem will be a reward according to our labor. Whether we even are in Jerusalem to live for eternity will be a reward that you must earn. You don't get that because of grace. You're saved by grace. But you're never rewarded by grace. Are you hearing that? Now that's very important. You're saved by grace. You can't earn salvation. But your reward will be by your labor. Your reward will be by your labor. You got to hear that. Saints will be busy blessing one another. And saying, I love that crown you got on your head. Oh, I'm so glad you were a soul winner. You've got a soul winner's crown. Won't that be something? Do you have a soul winner's crown when you get there? Have you won anybody to Jesus in all these times you've served him? Do you go around witnessing, testifying of God's love and grace, trying to help sinners get saved? I don't know how many sinners I've won to Christ, but not enough. I know that. I have a burden for the lost. I have an incredible burden for the lost. I really do. Human eyes have always enjoyed beauty of mansions and estates and forests and gardens and flowers. And can you imagine? Now, if this world is just a little testimony of the beauties of heaven, not even comparable. Eyes have not seen. You remember what I read? Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What a day, what a day, what a day. There will be great rejoicing when we see the souls that we have won. Oh, great God, I can remember some. I can remember some. I love to think of them. I really do love to think of somebody that I've won to Christ. It's a joy. It's a joy to think of somebody I led to the cross. I want to lead more. Hey, everybody out there, I want to help you make your decision for Jesus if you're not saved. If you're listening to Facebook, are you listening to the internet? Are you listening to a radio station somewhere? Whatever you might be participating in, and you're hearing me. And oh, I hope WSTS got it straight. I don't know what could have happened. I really don't. But all you hear me when I tell you that God is so wonderful. Human eyes have always enjoyed beautiful things. But the things we're going to see, the mansions we're going to see, the golden streets that we're going to behold, the things that are awaiting us, it will be splendor beyond description. Men down here will steal and cheat and do everything they can to get riches and to get big mansions and big estates and have a lot of wealth in their bank account. Men will do anything they can. I get amazed at what some people do just to get a little more wealthy than they are. Those things aren't worth a hill of beans for a real saint of God. When you get heaven on your mind and on your heart, and you're going to be looking for what's over there, this world has nothing to compare. Nothing to compare. Flowers. Flowers beyond all description. What a day they're going to be. What a day they're going to be. But the most important thing, we're going to see Jesus. Did you hear me? We're going to see the Son of the living God and know that He redeemed us and that He saved us. That we washed in the blood by His divine sacrifice and His divine grace. Oh, what a day. What a day. Now, those are just little things that I wrote down, but it's much bigger than that. It's way beyond that. I mean, just such little things that we can hardly imagine. Hardly imagine. Let's go so we can get other saints of God in the Bible. Let's go to Abraham. Let's go to Abraham. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Let me get it up here. Oh, I'm loving my new Bible. Oh, do I love it. Hebrews 11, and we're going to go to verse 4. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12, verse 4. Oh, I'm almost there. Give me a moment. Verse 4, here we go. Now, you have not yet received... All right, now, what's going on here? Make sure I know I'm supposed to be in 2 Corinthians and I'm over there in Hebrews. Forgive me, please. Forgive me, please. You know how we are. We human beings are like that. Let's go to verse 4 here. I think I have it now. For he that cometh preach another... Oh, boy, now what am I doing wrong here? I know, wrong chapter, verse 4. I'm almost there. How that he was caught up into paradise. Well, that was Apostle Paul. I was supposed to be in Hebrews. Forgive me. Please forgive me. You know, I'm loving this Bible. I'm loving this Bible. And I love everything in it. And you got to go with me now to Hebrews because this is very important. Very important. 11, I was on the right way a while ago and got deterred. Verse 9. And here we go. Let's start with 8. By faith, Abraham, listen now, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Hey, how many of you have served God like that? He calls you and you just go out. Mama called, the Heavenly Father called my sweetheart Juanita, I called her Mama. Called us, and we went to Burlington and lived in a little trailer. God said it's time to go, and we hooked up to that trailer and headed out for the mountains. Our first church to preach a revival was way up in Cullowhee, past Cullowhee, a place called Erastus, and the little church was sitting up on the hill. Oh, that's where God sent us, and it was wonderful. I preached a four-week revival there. It was a small church, but they came and stood in the windows, and I don't know why, because I sure didn't know much. I was so young and inexperienced until it was almost unbelievable. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked, now I want you to hear this. This is Abraham. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And that's Abraham. Abraham, the old man of faith, traveling with his family, yet in his womb. They're not in Sarah's womb. They were not yet born. He was living by faith. His son that he loved wasn't born until Abraham was over 100. Over 100. Are you hearing me? But he had faith in God. And he looked. He was traveling all over those desert areas of the Middle East. He was going here to feed his cattle and going there. He was a nomad living in a tent. No settled dwelling place. And he was dedicated because he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, here's somewhere I want to stop a minute. If I could get every believer out there to so settle yourself in the Lord, so dedicate yourself to the faithfulness of Christ, so give yourself to the kingdom of the Lord, that literally, regardless of what today holds, I know this pandemic's enough to drive you insane. I've wore these shields and these masks, and I don't like wearing these things, I tell you right now. I don't like it. But I'm willing to do it for the sake of our school and our students and our families and our church. We have sanitary place in the morning if you'll come to church. This place will be so sanitized that the mosquitoes wouldn't even live in this building. We give it everything we got, and you have to sanitize your hands when you come in the door. You got to keep your 6-foot distance. I don't call people to the altar because they tend to get too close and break the discipline rule. And I'm just a man that believes in doing what's right. I can make a little change. You can pray at your pew. You don't have to do things like you normally do them. That's very important. Churches are getting in trouble because they bring everybody to the altar and they crowd up around the altar on top of one another. Not on top, but you know what I mean. Close to one another. And they're getting sick. Now, let's be reasonable. Let's be honest. You come here, you will be protected. I'm telling you, we've had nobody to get sick because of being on this campus. Had a big camp meeting with people from 8 or 10 states. We had a big funeral here 3 or 4 weeks ago. A huge crowd. Hadn't heard a word of nobody getting sick because they were here. Haven't heard a word of nobody at one of our church services or in the school to get sick here because they were here. No. Because we're going to take care of you. And you need to be in the house of God. But listen, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, the same promise. For he looked for a city. I want you to learn that so you can quote that. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and that's verse 10. Hebrews 11 and 10, easy to remember. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, I'm looking for a city. Well, you just don't know. We're going to that city in a minute. It's already been built. Did you know that? Did you know that city is ready? You know that city is ready? I mean, before I give out of time, let me go there. Go with me to the book of Revelation. Go with me to the book of Revelation. Let's go to verse 21. Verse 21, okay? Let's start with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, can you imagine a new heaven and a new earth, wherein the Bible says at another place, wherein dwelleth righteousness, wherein dwelleth righteousness, there won't be any such thing as a lock and key when you get to this city. Won't be any such thing as a lock and key. There won't be anything concerning an incesticide or something to protect you from the mosquitoes and the critters out there that are violent and vicious. There won't be no such thing as a pandemic that you got to protect yourself from a virus. Do you know how many different viruses and how many different kinds of infections, how many different kinds of diseases that are just piling in on our world? Well, go read Matthew 24 and Luke 21. You'll find God promising that in this time of the end, it would be pandemics. I mean, it would be every kind of thing. The Bible even says, for fear, their hearts will fail, for fear, for looking on the things that's coming on the earth. It's getting that way every day. And I'm trying to get you looking to heaven. I'm trying to get you with your eyes on the celestial city. I'm trying to get you to get your eyes off of some worldly pleasure and some worldly action and get yourself set on heaven. There's some little things you can enjoy, but be clean with them. Don't violate the Lord's day. The Lord's day is not a picnic day. It's not a Halloween. A holiday, a vacation day. The Lord's day is His day. Give it to Him. Quit taking it away from Him. You know what? A lot of people are going to miss heaven just over how they treat the Lord's day. I've said a long time there won't be no church revival until we come back to keeping the Lord's day holy. Now, maybe I should say it this way. When we come back to keeping the Lord's day holy, we'll be in the midst of revival. And when we're in the midst of a Holy Ghost revival, you'll want to keep the Lord's day. People say, do I have to go to church to be saved? No, but you get saved, you'll go to church. The Bible says such as were saved were added to the church daily. Now listen, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Woo! Prepared, coming down from God out of heaven. Can you say hallelujah? Come on, say hallelujah. Hey, are you looking for that city? Are you expecting that city? Are you planning to go? Are you really, literally planning to be there? Have you give up the world? You can't plan to go to heaven until you give up loving this world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in it. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what the Bible said. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Go to your Bible. It's right there in the book. Get where you are living for heaven. Get where you are living for heaven. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be their God. God Himself shall be their God. Listen to that. Let me go back and read that again. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. God's going to dwell with us. I hope if I get a chance here, I'm going to take you back to Genesis and show you the Garden of Eden and show you where God would come into the garden in the cool of the day and walk and have fellowship with Adam and with Eve. You said there'll be so many of us in the future that there won't be enough time for God to do all of that. I promise you there will be time for God to do all of that. Let me take this call here. You on the air. May I help you, please? All right. I thought I had a call. Are you on the air? May I help you? All right. Give us a call if you would like to. I'm sorry. Somebody rung and I guess they hung up. I thought I answered pretty quickly. I'm keeping it where I hear it the moment it rings. And I'm having to cut me down, and I'm about half where I used to be. And I guess this new Phoenix program that I've got is that. And I see another problem. I'll do my best to get it solved by next week. You probably have noticed that my words and the sound is a little bit disconnected. Not quite on perfection. I remember when we put up the original Phoenix program, that was a real problem, and we finally got it solved. And we will have to solve this one, and I hope we can do that this week. Because I can see that my mouth doesn't keep up with my sounds, or my sounds don't keep up with my mouth. I don't know how that probably neither one of them are right. But under any circumstance, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I will dwell with them. Now, I'm talking about a place called heaven where God dwells with His people. God, we see Him. Jesus, we see Him. The Holy Spirit, we experience Him. His presence, angels. Can you imagine Michael and Gabriel and all those great angels? That's being part of the great company of those who dwell in this eternal place. Can you imagine that? I'm preparing a sermon on the sea of glass. That's in the book of Revelation. You see it beginning with chapter 4 of Revelation. And it's a great expanse place. I mean a great expanse place. So great that all the saints of God of all the ages will have a place to dwell right there together. and all the angels of God will be right there together. All the angels. There'll be the seraphims and the cherubims and the ministry angels. And it will be a company so incredible. And God will take his throne and move it out of the great temple in heaven and move it into the middle of this great expanse because God will be in the middle of it. And God's Son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, crucified from the foundations of the world, will be central. And as the event completes, we will crown Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then, after that, eternity begins. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Friend, are you getting ready to be there? Am I making you hungry for heaven? Can I get you to quit looking at how much money you got in the bank and how much savings you've got, and how many stocks and bonds you've been able to accumulate, and how many wealthy things you've got. I mean, those things are, please don't live for those things. There's nothing wrong in having a little wealth if God provides it for you. A lot of people have it, and they use it for God's glory. Whatever he gives me. This week, I heard about a home for children in Kenya, and talked with the man who's over it, named Brother Andrew, and I sent him a couple $100 out of my bank account. Out of my account, my security money, okay? I sent it to him to be a blessing. You want to send some money to Brother Andrew in Kenya, has a home for children, send it here and mark it for Kenya. I'll make sure it goes. You got some you want to send to Haiti, to Brother Lloyd, that great home for children there. Oh, would I love to send him $100,000. I really would. I really would love to send him $100,000. You give me $100,000 for him, it'll go directly to him. I promise you. I promise you. You hear me now. We are living in the closing hour, and this world is just a waste. It wastes. Oh, man, what a picture. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. There won't be such thing as tear ducts. Oh, the new glorified bodies will not have tear ducts unless they're just happy ducts. Maybe there's happy tear ducts. I don't know. Oh, that's just my imagination, but don't give up on me. Nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. Right, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something, friend. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that overcometh. Do you know what overcoming means? How many of you are overcomers? How many of you overcomers? How many of you quit smoking those nicotine fits that you used to smoke? How many of you have given up all the worldly things and the booze that you used to drink? How many of you have quit living for the world? Hey, let me get somebody to call here. I got nearly 10 minutes, about 10 minutes. I'd love to take 6 or 8 calls about heaven. How many of you are looking for heaven? How many of you expect in heaven? How many of you even believe that there's such thing as heaven? I'm not sure if many people even believe in heaven anymore. I don't hear much about it. How long has it been since you heard a sermon about heaven? Here I am doing this program about heaven because I want to get your eyes on the sky. I want to get you so caught up with God and the things of God that nothing else really means anything to you. That you're just in love with him and all of his loveliness and all of his beauty, all of his majesty and all of his power. Praise the name of the Lord. The fearful and the unbelieving. Hey, did you know fearful people aren't going? Don't get afraid of this virus that's out there. That's not good. Fear will drive you insane. Oh, fear will get you. Oh, there's so much here. I don't have time to read it all. But let's go back. Let's end. But let's go back to Genesis. What do you say? Would you go with me back to Genesis? And let's see if we can get a little picture. Oh, come on here. Let me try to get this thing to do right for me. Here we go. The book of Genesis, chapter 2. I think that's where I want to go. I got so much I haven't got to. That's always true with me. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. Chapter 2 and verse 8. All right? Are we there? Let me see. Chapter 2, verse 8. All right. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life, and also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became four heads, four different rivers. Well, that's beautiful. Well, it wasn't long out of God come walking in the garden in the middle of the day. See if I can find that right here. And God commanded man that he not eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let me see if I can find it here. Adam gave names to all the animals, the cattle. Oh, man, what a picture this is. What a picture. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto man. Maybe God will just take one of my ribs and make me a widow. Well, she wouldn't be a widow if she was made out of my rib. Oh, you don't pay me no attention in that. But the picture is beautiful. And God came into the garden after Adam and Eve sinned, and he came to have fellowship with them. And they had sinned, and so they were hiding. And God cried out, "Where art thou, Adam? Have you sinned? Have you eaten the fruit I forbade you to eat?" And God had to have the Lord Jesus to slay an animal. The great Christ slayed an animal, and it was a sacrifice. He made a coat of to wear as the redemption for Adam and Eve, and they came back in God's fellowship. Well, Jesus is the final answer to that, and the day will come when God will have fellowship with his entire saints, the great company of those who belong to him. What a day that will be. Words don't even begin to paint the beautiful picture. It is absolutely holy, 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 holy. Now let's stop here and let you and I spend these last 5 minutes worshiping. If you'd like to talk to me, pick up the phone and call 704-391-0588. Let me put the number up there so you can have it. 391-0588, that top number. You're welcome to call. I got 3 or 4 minutes. I take a call or two, and you can tell me that heaven is on your mind, that your heart is set on heaven, that you don't intend to miss heaven. If you miss heaven, you've missed the greatest promise, the greatest provision, the greatest opportunity. There is nothing to compare with what is yours. And if you miss heaven, you miss all of it. Not only do you miss all of that, but you'll spend eternity in a garden. I mean, in a lake of fire. You'll spend eternity in a lake of fire. I wish I didn't have to tell you that there is indeed a hell, a lake of fire. But I know there is. The Bible cannot be denied. It cannot be questioned. The Bible is true. The final word of everything is the Bible. And so there is an eternal hell and there's an eternal heaven. Which do you intend to spend eternity? Into which do you intend to spend eternity? Do you intend to spend eternity with God? Do you intend to live in such a manner that God will be pleased with you, that you will be His? Now, I'm telling you, revival is at hand. I'm looking for a great move of God's power and God's glory. I can hardly wait. I'm most excited about it. I'm most excited about it. God wants to give us a breakthrough that many will come to Christ, and I'm believing for that. I'm anxious for that. Man, how I long that somehow by the grace of God, by the love of Calvary, that Jesus might truly indeed have our hearts. Now, let's set our heart on heaven today. Will you get, I've done my best to give you a little picture. Try to make you feel, look, Abraham, look for the city which hath foundation, no foundation, whose builder and maker is God. The Bible speaks of heaven being a high and lofty place. The Bible says some wonderful things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The Bible makes it plain, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. That's what Isaiah 47 says. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. He's got a city. The Bible speaks of the mansions there being ivory palaces. The Bible speaks of the golden streets and the gates of pearl. The Bible talks about the many different jewels that make that church and enhance its grandeur and its beauty. Friends, we've got so much that we can look forward to if we'll just surrender our life to Christ. You're not going to live any old way and goof around about your faith. And, you know, so many people, they claim Christ and they live kindly. Well, they live like they please. They have no devotion to the things of God and Christ. I'm calling you to Christ. I'm calling you to a life of devotion. Could I tell you something? I put this on the internet today. When you live for Christ, you love Him, you live for Him, you obey Him, you can have sunshine when there is no sun shining. Because the sunshine of life is Jesus Christ. The sunshine of life is Jesus Christ. And you can live in that majesty. You can live in that glory. It's a beauty beyond compare. How many of you are looking forward to heaven? How many of you expect and intend to spend eternity with Him? How many intend? You're looking forward to death. How many of you are really looking forward to dying? Oh, Brother Chambers, you know I'm not looking forward to dying. Well, you need to start. You need to get yourself so right with God that you can say in a moment's notice, I'm looking forward to heaven. I am. Maybe it's because I'm 84. I don't know. But boy, I'm looking forward to it. I can hardly wait to cross that old river called death and to walk into that riches and that glory. I love that song that I played at the beginning. I'm going to play it again for you. I want somehow to get you excited about the things of God. I don't know anything that will change your life like getting heaven on your mind. And get yourself ready to die. Get yourself ready to die so that you have no fear that has to do with death. Absolutely no fear of death. Just absolute assurance. Listen.
The river.
Listen.
That separates the two worlds.
A river
that I love.
Separates two worlds that I love. Listen.
Torn between my precious friends.
That's how we all feel.
And my
loved
family.
One, my family, my grandbaby.
And the place
I wouldn't want to leave my grandbaby.
That's waiting.
My great grandbaby. Hallelujah. Listen to this.
Hold my hand and stay there by my side.
Hallelujah. Someone
and when
to
I finally step into the tide,
hallelujah.
Celebrate me home.
When you hear the chambers are gone, you better
celebrate me.
Not just because I'm gone, because I'm there.
Where nothing can compare.
Hallelujah.
Celebrate me, saved by grace.
Saved by grace. You know, I didn't deserve to be saved. I should have gone to hell. My life was so dirty and so unclean. Just this morning, I repented again. Although He's forgotten, I don't forget Him. Listen. I spent my life preparing. I really have. All these years living for Jesus. Pastoring, loving people, doing my best.
With the shield and word of God to guide me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's a comfort knowing I am not
alone. I'm telling you, what a joy. What a joy. You got to go.
So
I love you. Come to church tomorrow. Come to pulpit tomorrow. I'd love to have you. Would you come?
Faith,
I guarantee you. We'll have this place safe for you. I hope you'll come. I love you.
Celebrate me there. Celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone.